Inflation, bad already, got worse. I'm David Brancaccio. There's word this morning that the Consumer Price Index moved up more than expected. In the month just ended, prices in May were up 8.6% compared to a year earlier and jumped 1% just in that month. Let's consult Drew Mattis, Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Good morning to you.
How are you?
Well, we have an answer this morning. For those who thought maybe inflation had peaked in America, answer is no.
Well, that's right. Headline inflation continues to move higher, and you know, energy prices are one of the main reasons behind that. And that's the obvious one that everyone sees, you know, every time you go over to fill up your car.
Yeah, we absolutely sure do. But, you know, some of the best minds in the world thought it would tick down. They were wrong. This inflation is a little worse than we thought.
Yes, it's a little worse than we thought. And, you know, even the core reading, which is ex food and energy, which economists look at for a variety of reasons, but usually because food and energy prices go up and then come back down and go up and come back down, that core reading did dip a little bit, but not as much as people had been expecting.
Stock market tanked on the news. You could just see it. As soon as the bulletins hit about inflation, down went prices. That's, I guess, to be expected, right? Because there's an implication about whether we were ever going to get a reprieve on these interest rate hikes.
Well, that's right. I mean, people are worried that this means the Fed's just going to have to keep pounding away on those interest rate hikes. To that, I would just say, you know, we're a long way away from anything people were not assuming there'd be hikes during, right? So the next couple of Fed meetings were already priced in. And the real question is kind of towards year end, do they keep moving? And quite frankly, I still think even with this number, it's too early to tell whether the Fed's going to continue to be that aggressive that late into the year.
Fair enough. Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Speaking of inflation, the price of coal, an energy source that contributes especially to climate change, has skyrocketed in the last few months. That's due in part to global pandemic distortions and Russia's war. But as Justin Hicks with the journalism collaborative Ohio Valley Resource reports, U.S. coal companies may not be well positioned to take advantage of the boom.
David Byrd lives in a little town called Sulphur, Kentucky. His yard sits next to some busy train tracks, and it's covered with a small mountain of coal. Byrd is one of the few people left who sell coal for household uses like heating. He gets it from eastern Kentucky, and after doing it for his whole life, he can tell the quality of each piece by feel.
See how flaky it is?
1 ton of coal from central Appalachia, but the amount that could go into the bed of a pickup truck, cost about $60 a year ago. But now, the price has more than doubled, going for around $130 a ton.
So right now we got a coal boom going.
Byrd is trying to keep prices low for his longtime customers. But domestically, power plants are hungry for coal because they blew through their stockpiles last fall when the price of natural gas went up. And coal companies would really like to ship that coal even further. In Europe, coal suppliers can make even more. Bill Wolf, a market analyst at consulting firm John T. Boyd, says that's because countries boycotting Russian natural gas are hunting for backup energy sources.
If you don't have the ability to rely on natural gas, particularly if it's being supplied from Russia, they're going to have to ramp up some of these coal fire units. So that's why you're seeing this very rapid increase in coal prices literally across the globe.
For coal companies looking to cash in on the high demand, there's just one little problem, says Aaron Bates, Communications Director at United Mine Workers of America.
There's really not that many experienced miners out there that are wanting to come back to coal after they've been laid off the last couple of years. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Bates says the bottom line is many would-be miners don't see a future in the job as utilities continue to move towards renewable energy. In Louisville, Kentucky, I'm Justin Hicks for Marketplace.
The famed Article 5 of the NATO treaty says an attack on one member country is an attack on all. The Financial Times is reporting now that a former NATO chief, who's also the former prime minister of Denmark, is saying there should be an economic version of the mutual defense pledge. Economic aggression by, say, Russia or China should be regarded as an economic attack on all the signatory countries. Anders Fogh Rasmussen plans to announce today a new way to respond to economic threats, a report co-authored with Ivo Dalder, who used to be U.S. ambassador to NATO. Many low-income renters already face an uphill climb when fighting an eviction. Most local governments don't provide a court-appointed attorney for tenants who often lack the resources that landlords might have to hire a private lawyer. But fresh research points to another barrier when fighting inappropriate evictions, getting to the courthouse. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
In most parts of the country, if you're a renter facing eviction and you miss your court date, the judge rules against you automatically.
They issue a default, which basically means you lose.
Dave Hoffman is a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania who studied evictions in Philadelphia. His research suggests that even controlling for factors like income and race, the farther you are from the courthouse, the less likely you are to make it there to fight your eviction. For every extra hour it takes to get to court, the odds of a default eviction go up as much as 9%.
Poor people don't have easy access to transit. They can't just hop in a cab or an Uber. They can't afford it.
High rents have forced many working-class renters to live in lower-cost suburbs far from downtown. And downtown is where many eviction courts are located. Shanti Singh is with California-based Tenants Together.
It's almost a consequence of displacement that they have not just longer and longer commutes to work, but also possibly longer and longer commutes to their own eviction hearing.
Many eviction courts use Zoom or other platforms during the pandemic, and some continue to do so. That may help with the transport issue, but tenant lawyers say many of their clients run into issues using the technology. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.